Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, folks. I tell you what, this is crazy. I think I've been gone now almost 10 days. We are back live on the air. You know, family comes first, and it has been some wild and crazy times. I went 1,375 miles one way, flew back from that, so whatever that is, doubled, and just been cranking this puppy up. And I look at this and I think, you know what? This is the family life. And now we're back. We're back starting a brand new series. I'm excited. It's going to be a short series because it's a short book. But I have over the years watched a gentleman, Brian Thayer, used to own Dream Builders, one of the greatest, what I would call a tools and resource company. It's a media company is what it is. They produced videos, audios, books, you name it. Sold that company a few years ago to Video Plus, and just has been kicking it up on his own ever since. And he's got a new book coming out, but I wanted to cover his book that he sent me, a powerful book, The 9 Simple Laws of Networking That Will Change Your Life Forever. And today we're in the first of the 9 laws, the 9 laws. Some great stuff. I'm actually drinking a new Limu shake as I sat here this morning trying this out. But listen, this is some powerful stuff. How many of us would go through life and we're trying to figure out the networking thing? And I'm not just talking about what we call network marketing or something, but I'm talking about truly building those relationships that can enhance our lives so that we can fulfill our purpose. You know, listening sometimes to that small voice inside that says, hey, go chat with that person. And Brian starts his chapter off, I think, with something powerful. He makes this phrase. He says, even the smallest motion can multiply into a driving force. And he shares a story. He says, there's an old Vietnam parable about a man named Mr. Straw, who while praying at the temple, heard a voice say, when you leave the temple steps, the first thing you touch will bring you wealth. He didn't know what to think. Would he pick up a stone that turned to a diamond? Would he touch a brick that magically turned to gold? Had he really heard that voice? Had he even heard a voice at all? I mean, how many of us are like that? We think our intuition is correct, but yet then we try to second guess ourselves. As Mr. Straw left the temple and walked down the steps, he was so deep in thought he lost his footing, fell flat on the ground. When he picked himself up, he found that during his fall, he had grasped a piece of straw. Now, like most of us, normally he'd just pitch that aside, but he remembered the voice in the temple telling him that the first thing he touched would bring him wealth. So he's clutching the piece of straw, and he begins his journey home. And I'm sure pondering, Brian doesn't write this, but I'm sure he's pondering, how in the Sam Hill is this piece of straw going to help me? But as he walked, a dragonfly began buzzing around him. No amount of shooing away could get the fly away. So Mr. Straw caught the dragonfly and tied it to the piece of straw so that it looked like a little kite. And then he continued on down the road, I'm sure mesmerized by his little creation. But soon he met a flower lady coming from the other direction, and she had a very young son with her, and the boy was very weary. He had risen early to sell the flowers with his mama, and now the day was hot and it was dust flying all over. And if you've ever been down a dirty dirt road, I mean, I grew up that way, you know it can get dusty in the summertime. But when he saw the dragonfly tied to the straw, his eyes lit up. Oh, what a wonderful pet, the boy exclaimed. Now Mr. Straw knew the voice in the temple had told him that straw would bring him wealth. But the boy was tired, and this simple dragonfly brought him such joy. Mr. Straw, not thinking about himself, handed the little contraption to the boy. The flower lady was so grateful that she gave Mr. Straw her last flower, a beautiful, magnificent rose. As Mr. Straw continued on his journey, he chanced upon a young man sitting under a tree. He said, "Why are you so sad?" "Today, my beloved is to marry me," replied the young man, "but I have no gift for her that can match her luscious beauty." "I have this rose," replied Mr. Straw, "but it is a beautiful rose, and you are welcome to it." The young man was overjoyed by the stranger's generosity in exchange, gave Mr. Straw 3 plump, juicy oranges that he'd carried for his lunch. Well, Mr. Straw went on down the road. Came across a peddler pulling the cart and choking through all the dust that was drawn up by the wheels on the cart. The peddler stopped Mr. Straw and he said, "Sir, by any chance can you help me? I do not have any water and I haven't found a creek and I'm thirsty." "I'm sorry," replied Mr. Straw, "I have no water, but can I give you these oranges? They're very large and the juice from them will quench your thirst." Gosh, the peddler was so grateful. He grabbed one of his most gorgeous bolts of silk and he gave it to Mr. Straw as a token of his appreciation. Mr. Straw went on down the road. As he entered into a town with the bolt of beautiful silk under his arm, a princess in a golden carriage stopped him. "Sir," she said, "where did you get that silk?" She goes, "It is my father's birthday, and I was looking in every shop for silk as gorgeous as what you have to make my father a new robe. Please tell me where you found it so I can go get some." He goes, "Man, I don't know which shop the silk would come from, but since it's your father's birthday, please take this bolt of silk as a gift from me. Let me give this to you." Overjoyed by Mr. Straw's generosity, the princess accepted the silk, but only if Mr. Straw would accept a jewel in return. After the princess was on her way, he looked down at the jewel that shone in the sun, and that small voice in the temple came back, and Mr. Straw realized how right his intuition had been. He sold that jewel, and with the money he received, he bought a great rice field. He worked that field year after year, becoming a wealthy man. But now here's the moral. His wealth did not change him. For today, he still shares rice with the hungry. He built a school for the children in his village, and he helps those who are in need. See, now think about this. Where does our story begin? See, so many times I believe that we talk about wealth as if it's just money. See, I believe Mr. Straw, he was already wealthy. He just didn't realize it. See, he was in the temple praying. He was building his spiritual wealth. As he went out, he started building his relationship wealth, and each step along the way, he helped somebody else, and in return, they helped him. I'm a strong believer this is the foundation of networking. You help others, they help you. It's the way it goes. Brian writes this. He says, "In the story, it is not the piece of straw that begins the chain of events leading to wealth for Mr. Straw. It's his kindness towards others. Mr. Straw's wealth came as a natural result, not of calculated investments and business deals, but of who he was and how he reacted to those he met." When I read that, I had to stop and ponder. I'd just written an article about the flash mob mentality inside the direct selling world, where some leaders will go out and they will get cash deals, and then they will go out and they will drive the masses into the company until the next deal comes along. And I wondered, is that true wealth? Is that truly what's bringing wealth to people, or are they just in a cash flow where they're getting lots of cash flow, but at the end of the day, they're going to be no better off than someone who had worked years and years in corporate America just to be laid off before retirement? Brian Thayer is a leader that comes across different than most leaders I've ever met. He does not propagate his own agenda. What he ends up doing is leaving you with more questions sometimes than you came in with, to cause you to ponder where you're coming from. See, I look at this first law, and it's so amazing because it truly does separate us from just a normal everyday person. Said networking happens See, it's not something that you have to force, manipulate, scheme and scam to make happen. It's natural. Brian writes something in here. He says, several years ago, it became popular to play a little mind game called Six Degree to Kevin Bacon. It was based loosely on the theory of social science by Stanley Milgram that all of the world's people are connected to each other by no more than 6 degrees of separation. When I read that, I started laughing out loud because Brian Thayer and I have never met in person, but yet the person that introduced us is Michael Yank, the founder and CEO of LifeShare. 1 degree of separation. It's amazing how that works. If I'd have called up my friend John Fleming and said, hey, I want to meet this Brian Thayer, 1 degree of separation, he could have also introduced me to Brian Thayer. It's true. When you think about this for a minute, it really does work. There's a lot of people in the world that we see, and yet we don't realize how close we are to meeting them. See, it's amazing if we just look and if we watch and if we listen to that small voice of intuition. Brian writes, it is one of the identifiable characteristics common to every successful person I meet. And it's the idea of connectedness. It's the idea that there's all kinds of ways to connect with people. It's through these connections, a network, that every successful person in the world built their fortunes. Every one of them. If you go, there's a magazine, I guess it would, a supplement to Fortune magazine. It's a Fortune's richest people in the world, and each one of them, it's amazing because, like Mr. Strahl, they didn't start out to make money. They started out truly to become wealthy in all aspects, but to change the world. In Mr. Strahl's case, in this story that Brian gives us, Mr. Strahl was changing people's lives one person at a time. Bill Gates said, I want to change the world by dominating the PC computer market, something that didn't even exist at the time. See, this is what it takes for us to take things to the next level. We need to act on natural impulse. I remember a story that I heard when I was an agent with Primerica Financial Services many, many years ago. And it's similar to the Mr. Strahl story, except it's more of a romantic flair. It was a man, and he decided to leave his small, backwooded hick town and go find the woman of his dreams. I mean, he had this woman down, her hair and how it would flow off of her face. How when the sun glistened against it, it came out a dark, auburn brown, beautiful brunette color. Her eyes were just an emerald green that he had seen on the Emerald Coast when he'd gone to visit. Her arms were beautiful, thin arms, went down, beautiful fingers with gorgeous fingernails. Her body was not the traditional 36, 24, 36. He had no clue, but he knew what her shape would look like, and she would just be drop-dead gorgeous. Her legs, her feet, the clothes, her personality, the way she would smile at him, the way she would talk to him. He just knew he was going to find her in the big city. He went to New York, and he'd been there several months looking. He'd been all the finest restaurants, the finest plays that were there. He'd gone into the bookstores, everything, and he hadn't found her. And he decided that maybe it just wasn't his timing. He had the doorman call him a cab, and as he reached for the door handle, this cold, wet, drizzly New York day, a young lady's hand reached it just after his, and she put her hand on top of his. And in an instant, he saw those fingers. As his eyes strolled up her arm, he saw the arm that he had been dreaming about. As he looked up into her hair, A ray of sun broke through the clouds just for an instant, and there it was. The beautiful, dark, auburn, brunette-looking. I mean, he just knew this was an auburn. This is her. Her eyes, the green eyes, penetrated his. And she smiled, and that was the dream smile he'd always thought of. And he stepped back and said, "Ma'am, you go ahead and you take the cab." She jumped in the cab, closed the door as he stood there gazing at her through the window, and she rolled down the window and said, "Would you like to share a cab with me?" And he said, "No, you go right ahead." And in an instant, she was there and she was gone. Now, as I studied Brian's story and I studied the story I'd learned, I realized that in an instant, our life can change if we listen to the voice, if we follow through with our intuition, if we move forward and fulfill our opportunities, our passions, what we were born for. This is the first law. Networking happens. I do not believe there's anything in life that's happen chance. I believe everything happens for a purpose, but the end result we have control of, whether we listen and move forward to that voice, or whether we stagnate out of fear or whatever other limiting belief we have and it stops us. See, everything leaves a clue. And if we're listening, we will hear opportunity knocking on the door. But we have to be willing to listen. We have to pay attention. Brian writes something, and man, I sat here and pondered this. I wrote it down in my business journal. He says, opportunities doesn't leave loose ends. It's always trying to connect us with others to complete the web. See, success and opportunity is about a web. When I watch that, you guys know I am big time into technology, have been since I was 16. And I thought about the World Wide Web. I thought about the social marketing web. I thought back to Kevin's or Brian's philosophy on Kevin Bacon that was there, that the sixth degree of separation. And I realized that, man, this was a profound little statement. Opportunity doesn't like loose ends. It's always trying to connect us with others and complete the web. I go four-wheeling with my wife. She's a romantic, so we'll take my truck and we'll go back in the woods where we know where there's some little lakes and just some beautiful quiet time together with no kids and no strangers. It takes a little bit of guts just to go down some of these trails. You got to go through sand and water and sometimes water that you can't see the bottom of to get to the beauty of where we're going. And as I was thinking about what he was saying about the opportunity, about the connecting, about the completing the web, I thought, where would I be today if I hadn't taken the chance to talk to my beloved bride? Where would she have been if she hadn't taken the chance to write her first romance novel and send it in? I've got so many friends that self-publish their books, and I think that's awesome, especially in today's internet. I mean, you can self-publish. I've self-published some stuff. But to think that my wife sent a manuscript in and now some 10, 15 years later and 33 different books and 4 bestsellers, people have paid her and she gets royalties. Where would she have been? Where would you be today if you hadn't taken the risk to look that woman or that man in the eyes and say, "Want to go out? Want to go have some coffee? Want to marry me? Want to have kids? Want to go on a lifelong adventure?" I mean, think about this first. Where would you be? Where would you be if you hadn't taken the original risk to start talking with people? Networking happens, but it only happens if we're focused on it. It isn't about manipulation. It isn't about looking for the next best deal. It's about moving it to the next best deal. Brian says, "Just do it now." Art Williams said, "Just do it and do it and do it. No matter who you love, no matter who you focus on, no matter who your mentors are, every day you should be looking to network with people. You cannot look at the past. You cannot stay focused on the past. Whether it's your past failures or your past successes, they will not dictate your future. Brian puts it this way. You have to move your ideas. You have to move yourself from memory to the present. You cannot just sit there and set back, oh, the glory days when I was the football stud or I was the rah-rah girl. Matter of fact, I'll tell you a little story. I have a young lady that I grew up with. And when we were in school, we were both pretty wild. And we never made love to each other, never had an affair, nothing like that. But we were close. And we were close enough that I knew who she was with, when she was with them, and why she was with them. And it never failed that she would come back to me, and we would sit there and chat, and she'd have all this guilt. I don't know why I did what I did. I don't. And I'll tell you what brought this to mind, and why I'm sharing it is I watched the Casey Anthony trial yesterday. Well, for several days, but I'm sitting there watching this, and they're sharing the stories about how this little girl's promiscuous and. The boys call her the party girl, and the women in her life, most of them called her sluts. And I'm sitting there watching this, and I'm thinking back to my friend. And all her life, she had the perfect male. And it had nothing to do with personality. It had nothing to do with love. It all had to do with lust. She wanted this perfect image, this bodybuilding, stud-looking, blonde-haired, so that she could have blonde-haired kids. I mean, the whole kit and caboodle. And a couple years ago, she fell in love. She's in her 40s now. A couple years ago, she fell in love with an average, normal, loving man. Someone that accepted her for who she was. Somebody that loved her for who she was. And as they got to be friends first before they became lovers, she realized that her past did not have to dictate her future. See, folks, too many times we don't let networking happen because we're afraid of our past. We cannot allow that to take place. We have to break through that limiting belief. We've got to move it to the next level. You have to say to yourself, I deserve to win. I deserve to take it to the next level. I deserve to meet new people and change their lives one straw at a time. Brian says this, to begin understanding your personal network, make a list containing of about 20, 25 names. These should be people who have positively influenced you and others in some way. Individuals who bring a smile to your face when you think about them. They shouldn't be people you want to meet. They should be people you have a personal relationship with. Call them your inner circle. I don't care what you call them. But they should be people that you can call up. You can go and invest quality time with. Because as you invest quality time in their lives, they will remember you when they're investing time in other people's life and they come across a situation that can benefit both people. Brian writes this, and I believe we should all write this down. He says, network equals net worth. Network equals net worth. Man, that's powerful. You need to go to Brian. Thayer.com. That's BryanThayer.com. BryanThayer.com. Brian is a very unique mentor. He's somebody that I believe you will benefit from. I want to share a personal letter that Brian wrote to me. I few months ago, I mentioned Brian in a newscast because I really liked something that I'd read of his, and I put it up for people to watch. He sends me a book, The 1 Minute Networker, and some DVDs. But what meant more to me than anything is the handwritten personal note that Brian sent. Here's what it says. Hi, Troy. I hope you are doing well, brother. Really, enjoyed visiting your site often. You do an excellent job. You recently said some kind words on one of your videos, and I just wanted to say thank you. Have a great day, my friend, Brian. Brian and I have never met. But because I sacrificially just mentioned something that had benefited my life, and I wanted to network and share that with others, Brian Thayer and I are now connected. And we're connected because, as I mentioned to my friend Michael Yank, man, this dude just is a rock star. He starts laughing and said, he's one of my lifelong friends, Troy. And now we're connected even more personal. It's all about networking. Tomorrow, law number 2, scarcity versus abundance. Man, this is rocking. I'm telling you, we're going to have fun with this series. It will help you change your life if you want to. At the end of the day, it's all if you want to. Folks, live life like it's an epic adventure. I'll see you at the top. Be back with me tomorrow morning right here at RealMentorsRadio.com. Bye now.